Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, I want to talk about the Timberwolves' other two members of the Big Three, not Karl-Anthony Towns, but just how important are Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell, and how has their consistency, or should I say lack thereof, really impacted the Timberwolves of late during this little mini swoon that the Timberwolves are in. I want to break that down. We'll also preview Wolves-Raptors here for Wednesday night. It's all coming up on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day and happy Timberwolves game day. The Wolves take on the Raptors this evening in Toronto. We'll get to that here at the end of the show. Plenty to get to. Before that, though, I want to talk about the Timberwolves Big Three today and, the non-Karl-Anthony Towns members of the Big Three, primarily their consistency and lack thereof in recent games. We're going to break that all down here shortly. First, though, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, of course, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. We're talking Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B-Beacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, so let's start by talking about D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. Obviously, the Timberwolves have a big three. Karl-Anthony Towns is head and shoulders the best player on the team. I know there's this kind of like Anthony Edwards is phenomenal, right? If you're not a Timberwolves fan and you just kind of have whatever the average national opinion is of the Timberwolves as of right now, you probably think they're young, up and coming. Anthony Edwards is the next greatest thing, and he's, you know, already a superstar. Well, all of that's true, except for the Ant is already a superstar part. Ant is fantastic. And his explosiveness, there's so many things about Anthony Edwards that are phenomenal. And I'm not about to argue that he's not already, we'll call him a star, right? Lately though, he's showing why there are still some issues with his game, and he is not the best player in the Timberwolves. And there's really no question about that. And Timberwolves fans know that, right? I'm not breaking any news here, but I'm also not entirely constructing a straw man. There is a higher national opinion of Anthony Edwards because of the goofiness, the highlight reel dunks, the random scoring outbursts that he has, the highlights he produces. Earlier this season, it was almost every night. Lately, and I want to acknowledge this, the injuries have obviously contributed to a lot of this, right? The ankle injury just prior to the All-Star break, the sore knee issue that's, I think both knees really have hampered him most of the season, but especially of late. But I was on the Locked On NBA show a few weeks ago, and Jackson Gatlin, the fantastic host of Locked On NBA and also Locked On Rockets, asked me if this was Anthony Edwards' team or Karl-Anthony Towns' team. Now, I told him in the moment I didn't like that question, and I would still say that. But the answer is Karl-Anthony Towns, right? It's his team. He is the multi-time All-Star, the three-time All-Star, somebody who's been on an All-NBA team, somebody who currently is one of the best 15 players in the league, if not top 12. Anthony Edwards is probably a top, 40 player in the league, maybe? Top 45 player in the league? And has an infectious personality, but he's 20, and it's not his team, which is fine. But what I want to get at, I guess, is Karl-Anthony Towns is by far the best player in the team. But just how important are Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell? And have we not been focusing enough, right? I mean, there's kind of this easy, like, hey, the big three are great. What about the supporting cast? What has Malik Beasley done for me lately? What has Jaden McDaniels done? Well, those guys are both hurt. What has Jaden McDaniels done for me lately? What has, you know, insert role player here, done for me lately, right? The consistency of Jalen Noel. And we talk a lot about how great Patrick Beverley is, which is 100% true and changing. I want to get to him actually a little bit later in the show about the culture change and some of that stuff. There was an Athletic article that talked a little bit about that by a national writer. So I want to get to Pat Bev too. But I don't know that we focus enough on the struggles that the Timberwolves Big Three has had to this point, really, I guess, in the month of March, if we're going to break it down to a really specific time frame. Let's start with Anthony Edwards, because that's kind of where I started the podcast. Ant lately has really struggled to score with efficiency. He's had a couple of good games more recently, but the shooting percentage has struggled. And you can go back to when he missed, what was it, three games with the knee issue after he got hurt against Cleveland. And since then, he's averaging 18.7 points a game, which is obviously below his season average, which is around 21. He's shooting 44% from the field, but he's shooting 42% from three-point range. He's just getting into the paint and attempting shots at the rim a lot less often. And when he has been getting to the rim, he's been missing at the rim quite a bit. He's only attempting 2.6 free throws per game over that stretch. And compare that to his season stats. And I lost that here. But his season stats, well, actually here, I'll do it this way. He's averaging 2.2 free throw attempts per game over the past 10 games. For the season, he's 4.1 free throw attempts per game. So he's just a little under or a little over half the free throw attempts per game of late. The field goal percentage and the three-point percentage are up, which is great. But again, he's getting to the paint less, he's getting to the line less, and that's largely because of, I would assume, the injuries that he's dealing with, the knee and probably to a lesser extent at this point, the ankle. But the overall scoring's down, the overall usage is down, and the free throw attempts are down. And now that's coincided a little bit with Karl-Anthony Towns basically exploding, but there was that stretch when the Wolves were playing extremely well and Towns was playing extremely well when they won five straight back in you know, late January, early February, and again, kind of right before the All-Star break, when they won, what was it, like 4 out of 5 or something like that. Those stretches, both Towns and Edwards were firing at all cylinders, and Edwards was scoring, you know, he had those 30-plus point games against the Bulls and the Pacers just a little bit prior to the All-Star break. Of course, that's just prior to where he hurt his ankle as well. You go all the way back to January. You had the late January stretch where he had 40 against Portland. The knee started to bother him right around then. But I think the thing to underscore here, and I want to get to this specific to D'Angelo Russell in a moment, is that the latest struggles for the Wolves, losing 3 out of 4, and again, against good competition, I've covered this quite a bit the last couple of days. I get that they're playing, you know, top 4 teams in each conference, Dallas, Phoenix, Dallas again, Boston. I understand that. And not just, I guess, in the case of Phoenix and Boston, the two best teams in each conference, you could argue. But the important Anthony Edwards is vital to what the Timberwolves are doing. And again, that should go without saying, but I don't know that we focus on it quite enough, that these high variance scoring nights that we're seeing from Russell and from Edwards, again, we'll talk about Russell, have really hampered the Timberwolves of late when it comes to playing these better teams. When you're going to go up against a Boston or a Phoenix or a Dallas team, or upcoming, you know, Toronto, Denver, you need your big three to all be scoring somewhere around their averages with decent efficiency. And while Edwards has been a little bit more efficient in terms of his three-point shooting, he's also been a little bit less well-rounded when it comes to his offensive game. And by the way, as weird as that is, he's had a couple of lower volume shooting nights as well, lower volume three-point shooting nights. He was 0 for 4 the other night, 1 for 2 in that game against the Spurs. Now, that was the Cat 60-point game. But you look at this last 10 games, you know, Ant's been a little bit all over the place in terms of his shot attempts and in terms of his ability to get to the free throw line. So if the Wolves are going to beat the likes of the Raptors and the Nuggets this week, which is obviously super important, if they're going to stay in the race for the sixth seed, they have to beat Denver on Friday. They need Ant to be present in all facets of the offense. And he, you know, the consistency hasn't quite been there as much of late. I want to talk about D'Angelo Russell specifically as well, because I think his numbers are even more jarring. It's easier to understand with Ant, given the injuries that we know about and the way that he plays typically, right? How much he relies on his explosiveness and athleticism. And also the fact that he's 20, right? I don't think very many teams build their game plan around stopping D'Angelo Russell, whereas Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are options 1A and 1B, and those are the guys that teams want to slow down. So I want to acknowledge that too. But specifically, let's talk about D'Angelo Russell here in a second, and what he's done here lately and the impact it's had on the Timberwolves. First of all, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. All you do is pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times in any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. You're not playing against professional DFS players. Again, it's just you versus the numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. PrizePicks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. Plus, the best thing about it is that they offer mixed sport entries. So at this time of year, it could be, it's about to be MLB, right? Next week, you could do an NBA and MLB mixed sport entry. College basketball, I guess this weekend, obviously, the final few teams are there. You know, we're down to the final two rounds of the college basketball playoffs with the championship coming up on Monday night. You could do cross-sport entries with NBA and NCAA basketball, MMA, soccer, whatever it is. You could pick, like, for instance, this weekend, you could pick your favorite player playing in the Final Four, pick the over, as well as the over on Karl-Anthony Towns if the Timberwolves are playing on the same day. But again, any sport, once baseball starts, you can do it with that. Obviously, football in the fall. Now, for a limited time, though, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans only. Sign up today. Use the code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point. All right, let's talk about D'Lo. Another thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. For your next listen, you could check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is the best way to get caught up on NBA action. If you are watching the Wolves and miss the rest of what's going on around the NBA, don't just look at box scores or Twitter or whatever. Listen to Locked On, the Locked On Now podcast. It's going to give you the best kind of swing around the league, what happened the night before. So be sure to subscribe and listen to that. All right, let's talk about D'Angelo Russell. So his issues lately, the contrast in his game log, I guess, is maybe the best way to say it, is the most stark from earlier in the season. Remember, D'Lo was really efficient earlier this year. The three-point shooting's always, all year, has been a little bit below where he's been for his career. But lately, even though the assist numbers haven't really struggled much, the overall scoring and the field goal percentage has not been impressive. We could use that same 10-game span as we did with Ant, if we wanted to look at like the last 10 for D'Angelo Russell. The last 10, he's only averaging 11.7 points per game, so under 12 points a game. The assists are still there, over 7 a game. But the shooting percentage is 36% from the floor, 27.9% over the last 10 for D'Angelo Russell on three-point shooting, three-point percentage. And the free throw rate is down as well. He's averaging just over 2 free throw attempts per game over the last 10. You take the 12 games prior to that, which is after he came back. He missed a few games due to injury prior to the All-Star break. But take the, call it 13 games before that, 4.6 free throws per game. So well under half as many free throw attempts per game. The three-point shooting percentage was over that span is 34.6%. Not great, but in line with where he's been for the season. But he missed that one game against Portland. I forget what the injury was, but it was due to injury. That was a dominant win. The Wolves won that thing by 40-plus. And he returned to take on, that was that stretch they won at Oklahoma City, beat Portland at home, then Portland at home again, then Oklahoma City at home. He came back for that home game against Oklahoma City. That's going back 10 games. Again, under 12 points a game, about 7.5 assists a game, but just 36% for the field, 27.9% from three, and 2.2 free throw attempts per game. The high variance is, as I mentioned a minute ago, is what really kills the Timberwolves here. Now, you go over those 10 games, the Wolves are still 6-4, but like you could cherry pick the losses and how much worse he's played in the losses in general, which, you know, makes sense, right? In the Orlando game, he scored 13 points on 12 shots. In the Dallas game, he was much better. He scored 18 points, but it took him 16 shots to get there. But then the next game against the Suns, he had only 6 points on 9 shots. Against Boston on Sunday, 4 points on 6 shot attempts, 0-3 from outside the arc. I don't know what's going on with D'Lo, if it's the nagging injuries, if it's the way that teams are generally defending the Timberwolves. D'Lo hasn't been shooting the ball in transition as much. He's been really focused on creating. And I, you know, obviously that matters. He is the starting point guard after all, and he's somebody who's an incredible passer. But the assists aren't up dramatically over where they were earlier this season. They're just maybe a little more consistent. We're not having the three assist night followed by the 12 assist night that we got earlier this season. Lately, it's been more, you know, 6, 7, 9 assists each and every night, which is great. That's outstanding. The turnovers are still relatively low. There's a couple bad games in there for him, but it's the scoring. And the Timberwolves need him to be a knockdown spot-up shooter when he gets those kickouts from Karl Anthony Towns when he's double-teamed. They need him to be the dangerous shooter that he has been in previous years. And that just hasn't been the case all season long. And I don't think there's any sugarcoating that. Now, D'Lo is still having a really good season. And you could easily argue it's his best season. I mean, it's not crazy to argue that D'Angelo Russell is having just as good of a year this year as he did in his All-Star campaign in Brooklyn. I think that's a completely reasonable argument to make, if not a better season. You know, you compare those two seasons directly to one another, the assist rate's only down slightly, but the turnover rate's way down. So is the usage rate. And he's doing other stuff. He's a much better defender than he used to be. This is a topic that I want to cover probably later this week. But you talk about defense, Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. I'm focusing on their offense. But defensively, they've been average at worst defenders. You take the body of work this season. Now, they obviously, D'Lo struggles still quite a bit with quick guards. I mean, there's some pick and roll coverages that neither of those guys are as good in. But you take the body of work the season so far, 70 games, 70 plus games, and the Timberwolves have relied on D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards to step up defensively. And for the most part, they've done that. This is a topic for another day, but you could stack up the overall, it's 100% a topic for another day. I almost went on a little Andrew Wiggins mini tangent, as I'm known to do now and again, but we'll set that aside. We'll compare Anthony Edwards and Andrew Wiggins another day. But D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards have both impressed defensively. And that's the biggest difference for me between D'Lo this season and past seasons. The worrisome thing is that the offense and specifically the three-point shooting hasn't come along for the ride. While the defense has improved, the three-point shooting is a full 4.5 points behind where he was last year. 38.7% last season, in a smaller sample, of course, shorter season, more injuries for D'Lo, compared to just 34.2% this season. But the 34.2 is his lowest mark of any season in his career, except for his first season in Brooklyn. It's lower than he was as a rookie, as a second-year player with the Lakers, which is a little bit alarming. It feels like it's fluky because there's no real reason for it. You would think he would be able to operate better with more space, with Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards creating more space. But for whatever reason, that hasn't necessarily been the case. So something to consider, that the high variance, more D'Lo than Anthony Edwards, but of late, we'll see if that bounces back at all when they play, you know, the Houstons and San Antonio, I think, and the teams that are left on the schedule that aren't as good. But the point I'm making is, against the really good teams, you have to have your best players bring something close to their scoring average on reasonable shooting percentages every night. You can't rely on the other guys to step up with consistency. And right now, you know, the key is your main guy should bring it every night. Your core, your supporting cast guys, somebody's got to step up every night. But now you're missing Malik Beasley for the foreseeable future with the sprained ankle. Jaden McDaniels for the same reason. And your supporting cast is down to guys that aren't going to score quite as much, right? Jalen Noel can score in bunches. But now you're talking, Jordan McLaughlin, you're talking Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, guys that are more defensive minded and can knock down open shots. Not in the case of Vando, but in the case of Beverly and in some cases McLaughlin, but they're not going to go out and give you that high scoring night. And so you need D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards to do that more consistently. And they've struggled of late to do that. Okay. I want to close the show, I should say, by looking at the Toronto Raptors, the matchup for Wednesday night against the Wolves and between the Wolves and the Raptors. We do that here next. First of all, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. This is the time of year that I've pretty much given up on all my New Year's resolutions, but not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, though, because I actually enjoy eating Built Bars. Have you tried the Puffs? If you have not tried the Puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. I actually just ordered brownie batter built puffs the other day. They should be arriving. They actually just shipped. They'll be here any day. I can't wait. The puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. There's tons of delicious flavors of puffs. And again, all built bars are covered in 100% chocolate. That includes puffs. They're all low-calorie, high-protein. You can replace your candy bars with built bars. You can go to built.com and scroll down to see the macros chart. You'll be absolutely blown away. Most built bars have just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Mint brownie, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. If Built thinks a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It will be delicious, and it will be good for you. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, and then figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, let's talk Wolves Raptors. The Timberwolves haven't seen Toronto since the game right before the All-Star break. You'll remember it was like a Tuesday loss to Charlotte, a win over Charlotte. Anthony Edwards sprained his ankle at the end of the first half, missed the second half of the Charlotte game. They went and played the next night, Tuesday to Wednesday, both games at home, Wednesday night back-to-back at home against Toronto. Edwards decided to come out and play, and he did not play well a night after spraining his ankle, which maybe shouldn't have been a surprise. 6 points on 0 of 8 shooting, did not make a field goal, a shot for the field. He was 0 of 5 from outside the arc. He did go 6 of 10 from the free throw line, but and, you know, no made field goals in 32 minutes is obviously a complete anomaly for him. The rest of that game, this was a game the Wolves actually got off to a slow start, but they led at halftime, led at the start of the fourth quarter, but collapsed late. Gary Trent Jr., of course, Minnesota native, went off in the fourth quarter and really throughout the game. He scored, 30 in the game, made 5 threes. The Timberwolves lost the fourth quarter by 14 points, lost the game by 12, and scored just 91 themselves. Karl-Anthony Towns had 24 and 11. This was a good game from him. Toronto's got some strong defenders in the front court. I mean, you're talking about, Kem Birch. You're talking about Chris Boucher. They've got guys that can defend in the front court. But Karl-Anthony Towns should be able to get what he wants against this Toronto team nonetheless. I mean, he gets what he wants against almost any other team. But the way the Wolves are going to use him against Toronto, mixing in, I think they'll mix in some post-up opportunities with him in face-up situations on the perimeter like they've done a lot more of late. I think this is an advantageous matchup for Karl-Anthony Towns. It's tricky for the Wolves' wings because of the size of the Raptors' wings, OG Anunoby. Obviously, Pascal Siakam's been fantastic lately. He had 17, 9, and 9 against the Wolves last time. He got into some foul trouble and had 6 turnovers, but 17, 9, and 9 when the Raptors beat the Wolves back in mid-February. So Siakam's going to be a tough cover, especially with no Jaden McDaniels. Look for Jared Vanderbilt to be super important in that department. Again, OG Anunoby, Scotty Barnes. Everybody loves Scotty Barnes. This is a really a deep roster that now includes Thaddeus Young. Precious Achiuwa's a tough matchup off the bench. He had a good game against the Wolves last time around, too. They've really kind of remade this roster and included some of these young, big wings and bigs, really, with length and athleticism. And those are the types of guys that the Wolves as a whole could struggle with. Karl-Anthony Towns should have a great game. But especially with no Jaden McDaniels, how are the likes of Naz Reid, how are the likes of Jared Vanderbilt going to handle? Are they going to be able to stay out of foul trouble? Are they going to be able to hold their own on the glass? The Wolves were a -6 on the glass last time they faced Toronto. And also the Raptors are the second best offensive rebounding team in the league by percentage. And the Wolves, of course, as we know, struggle to defensive rebound the ball. They've been the worst or they've been the bottom three all season. I think at the moment they're 29th in defensive rebound percentage. So this is a tough matchup in that regard for Minnesota. So the keys to me are Karl-Anthony Towns staying out of foul trouble, which he should be able to do because the Raptors' best players, they don't have high usage front court players for the most part, right? I mean, Chris Boucher, Precious Achiuwa, these guys aren't necessarily going to put up big scoring numbers. They aren't going to dump the ball into the post. Karl-Anthony Towns should be able to avoid foul trouble if he can avoid silly fouls on the perimeter, help defense or pick and roll situation if the Wolves are switching or if Towns is showing hard on the perimeter against Siakam and Anunoby and guys like that. The Timberwolves should be able to keep him out of foul trouble. And that to me is the biggest thing in this game. Toronto also doesn't turn the ball over, but they turn you over. They're actually the only team in the league that has a better defensive turnover rate than the Timberwolves, meaning the Wolves are the second best team in the league at forcing opponent turnovers. The Raptors are the best. To go with that, the Raptors don't commit turnovers themselves. They're second in offensive turnover rate. So while they don't get to the free throw line a ton, they're not an outstanding three-point shooting team. They're fine. They're kind of middle of the pack in terms of attempts and percentage. Or rate and percentage. Actually, they're bottom 10 in rate, but percentage the middle of the pack. They're not a great three-point shooting team. They don't get to the free throw line a ton, and they're pretty mediocre when they get there, but they don't turn it over, and they're a fantastic offensive rebounding team. The Wolves rely on turning other teams over, and they're not a good defensive rebounding rate. So while this is a decent matchup for Towns, overall, the Raptors are a tough match for Minnesota because of the way that their strengths line up with the Timberwolves' weaknesses. To layer on top of that, Toronto's won 9 of their last 11. Four of their last five, they were at the 500 mark in late January, and they've been fantastic since then. They're currently, let me grab their current record here, but they've been really good since the end of January. They're currently 43-32, so very similar record to Minnesota. And again, a tough matchup. And this one's at Toronto as well, of course, as the road trip continues before the Wolves go on to Denver on Friday night. But the Wolves can't look past this one. They shouldn't. Toronto's a really good team. But there's a little bit of danger of looking past them in anticipation for the big game against Denver Friday. But if the Wolves lose Wednesday and Denver wins their game against the Pacers, Friday matters a lot less, quite frankly. So they have to win this game. They're basically in must-win territory if they really want to get that sixth seed in the Western Conference. Okay, that's all we have for you today. Of course, after the game tonight, after the Wednesday night game against the Raptors, we will have the post-game podcast posting late this evening. So be sure to tune in for that. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube. You can also find the show on any of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Network, your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now that you made Locked On Wolves your first listen, you can make your second listen Locked On NBA. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.